Welcome in to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 384. We will be talking about one news item, and we'll be talking about our recap of AEW Dynamite. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. Fellas, how the hell are you?
Well, we survived Valentine's Day. We're coming into the latter half of February, and it's going to almost be springtime. So things are good.
These are my favorite episodes because it was one of those weeks where you've been, you know, busier than a dog with two noses. So you get to sit back and relax and let Josh tell me everything that's happened this week, and I get to react. Those are fun.
That's why I transcribed two promos, because I know you didn't see it.
Look, always looking out for me, brother. Appreciate it.
I'm trying to take the calmness of the news when we can get it. And if I reported on every little thing, we'd be here for an hour and a half. So the only thing of note, really, is that today, February 15th, is the 2-year anniversary of Cody and Brandy leaving AEW. And 2 years later, look where he is now.
And I've said it before. I mean, I think I said it right around the time the original All In happened. I was saying that it was an if, not a when, Cody returned to WWE. Now, I think it's safe to say it took longer than I thought it would. But I figured after the success of the original All In, how just, you know, literally the biggest indie show of all time, that was going to get his way back in. And I guess maybe just forming and helping run AEW probably extended that stay away. But I don't think, I doubt anybody's too surprised that he went back. I mean, you kind of can't argue against the choice now. I mean, he is the hottest babyface in years right now. So kudos to him.
Did you guys ever think, though, that when he was dashing Cody Rhodes and he kind of went through, you know, the force to go back to Stardust and all that, did you ever think he was going to get to where he is now?
Not a chance in hell.
No. No, me either.
I think Rock called him mid-Carter for life back at that in during that time. So I don't know if that's true or not, or somebody photoshopped some Twitter tweets to make it look that way, but that's what I read.
I remember seeing that too. And then, like, you hear these days Rock talk, oh yeah, we're buds, we go way back, like our families hung out together and we always went over to Dusty's and blah blah. So I don't know if that's something he would have said, or if he did, was it a in character thing or whatever. I don't know. They switch so often.
Well, that's all right, though. I'm sure they'll cover it on the Young Rock. Oh, it got canceled. Never mind. All right. So AEW Dynamite last night. It was a packed 2 hours, I will say that. Kicked off with Jon Moxley defeating Dax Harwood in a hard-hitting match that, if you haven't seen, I strongly recommend. It was very good, and I'm looking forward to FTR versus BCC next week.
Yeah, I hate to sound like one of those fans, but it definitely had a feeling of a more international match, like something you might see in a Japanese promotion more than you would an American promotion, because they definitely were smacking each other's pretty hard.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, it started with fists of flying. Then they flipped each other off. Then they remembered it was Valentine's Day and they kissed. And then they went back to beating each other up. So that was a thing. Anyway, moving on.
Brings kiss, kiss, bang, bang to a new level, huh?
Yeah. Then we had a backstage segment with the Don Callis family, with Powerhouse Hobbs, Don Callis, and Takeshita. And Don essentially said that his family was great and they needed to be featured on Revolution, but they've run out of competition. So Don's got the great idea of he's going to look within his family where all the talent is, and he's going to book a match for Revolution, which apparently he has the power to do. And we're getting Takeshita versus Will Ospreay at Revolution. And Don says it's okay, because in the end, the Don Callis family wins. And he had a good line when Renee asked him, so you're pitting your own family against each other? And Don says, well, now as a kid, my dad had a few drinks and had us boys go fight in the yard, and we turned out okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it was funny seeing some of the reaction to this about there being no build or something like that. And I'm just like, the build is they are two wrestlers wrestling. In this case, do you really need that much of a build? And I think it's pretty clear this is going to probably be Will Ospreay saying, wait a minute, I'm not a permanent part of your family. I just helped you out a little bit. And we'll get the baby face run for Ospreay, I think.
Seems reasonable. Mm-hmm. Then we had Wardlow squish to squash match. And I'm kind of tired of this. This is how his career started 5 years ago or 4 years ago, wherever the hell it was. And now we're right back to it again. And yeah, I think this storyline has been snake bitten by the injuries to Adam Cole and MJF, because we had the big reveal at World's End and it's fallen off a cliff ever since, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I'm kind of not into it.
Two then steps had, forward, three steps back.
Mm-hmm. More than that.
Well, and we'll get to more steps back in a minute.
All right. Uh-oh.
Then we had Adam Copeland taking on Daniel Garcia, and it went to a no contest. But at the beginning of the match, I noticed that instead of trying to imitate Tony Chimmel, Justin Roberts has decided to go with the rated R super, super, superstar.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Justin, if you're going to do that, at least do an impression of the Jimmy Snuka theme song and be like, shoop, shoop, superstar. But no, he didn't get that creative. But so that's what we get. And kind of makes you miss Tony Chimmel. At the end of this match, the Patriarchy attacks both men and ends with Christian hitting Adam with a concerto.
All I got to say is I just hope this doesn't lead to another three-way, because you've basically done the same thing twice. Once for the TNT title and once for the world title. That's too many three-ways, in my opinion.
I think one is too many for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed there too.
Okay, so then we had a promo segment that featured Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Hangman Adam Page. And I've transcribed Joe for Jarrett because Joe is amazing and we all agree. Mm-hmm. So Joe comes out and he says, I didn't transcribe the first sentence or two, but he says something to the effect of, I am your AEW World Champion Samoa Joe, and I stand here with apology in hand. And then I transcribe the rest. And he says, when I became champion, I reenacted a ranking system to ensure that only the very best victims were served up in front of me for me to destroy and continue my championship reign. And everything was going so well until last week when Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland came out here, battle tooth and nail for 30 minutes to a draw. The crowd boos heavily. Now, somehow, some way, I thought our championship committee would kick them to the back of the line, but no. You see, they took a page out of the Texas playbook and they made my match bigger and dumber.
That was such a great line.
You see, we reward mediocrity around here, and instead of telling these pretenders they don't belong in a ring with me, no, now at Revolution, I find myself in a three-way match. Obviously, a crime has been committed against me, and now there must be repercussions. So I guarantee you this. You send your two bright stars into the ring with me, and I guarantee I'm hurting one, if not both of them. They may walk in, but I guarantee you they will both limp out because I am Samoa Joe and I stand here the AEW World Champion, and there is nothing anyone can do about that. That was Joe's promo, and then of course Swerve comes out, cuts his promo. He talks about Joe needs to run down his resume and see that he does belong in this match. And then Hangman comes out and he essentially disagrees and says he doesn't belong in this match. These two bicker back and forth and Joe interrupts them and says something along the lines of this domestic squabble has to be squashed right here tonight, because if you, and he's looking at Swerve, thinks you can just pin your boy over here and step over me, that ain't happening. And he looks at Hangman and he goes, if you think you can just pin him and take my title, that's not happening either, because at Revolution, I'm going to whip both your asses. And he slams the microphone down on the mat and leaves. I was and the crowd's going, Joe.
Joe came across like the baby face. Yeah.
I'm like, who's the biggest guy over Joe? Even though, you know, the crowd, you know, did the dance and song and everything for Swerve, I think Joe's way more over than Swerve is, at least between these three.
Joe is always such a good promo. I think we talked about that before last time we went over AEW. Is like, the guy's just a cool menace, and it's, you know, as we know, it's fun to like the cool guy, right? So
Okay, then we had the world premiere of Timeless Toni Storm's film called Wet Ink. And as soon as I saw the title when they announced this, I knew it was going to be about the tattoos. Mm-hmm. So I transcribed some of this as well, because Tony's amazing. And as I'm reading through this, just imagine that she's in a tattoo shop and she's getting the tattoo that she has shared with Deanna, the same tattoo. She's getting it updated a little bit, and I'll tell you what changed at the end. So she's thumbing through a photo book of old photos of the two of them, and she goes, what does this tattoo remind me of? No, I'm sorry, she's British. What does this tattoo remind me of? It reminds me of a girl I befriended because I felt sorry for her. A girl so naive, so needy, so desperate to make it that she had my pity. You were my young girl. I showed you my ways. I brought you into Japan. I helped you sign a contract. I nurtured you on my bosom of brilliance. You suckled on my teat of talent. And now you bit the tit that feeds you.
Oh my God.
So great lines. Somewhere along the way, you forgot who you were. You thought you were the star of this story instead of just an extra. You want the old Toni Storm? You'll get the old Toni Storm and so much more. What do you do when you can't change the past? You kill it. And she got her tattoo updated, and that little, I don't know if it's a magpie or a bird or something like that, but the tattoo is now updated with a knife going through the bird and stabbing it. And I'm like, amazing.
Oh.
So then they cut to Renee, who's with Deanna backstage, and Renee asks her what her thoughts are on the film we just saw. And after calling her a name, she says, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Tony, I'm going to break your arm, bitch. And she walks off. And my mistake, Tony's not British. She's Australian,
I believe. Yeah,
I should know, because Rhea calls it a tattoo as well. Then we had Matthew and Nicholas Jackson defeating Top Flight. And the story here was the attack on Tony Schiavone afterwards, or they attempted to attack him. They were being interviewed by him, and they were about to hit him with the EVP trigger. And Darby Allin comes running out with Sting's baseball bat. And this is interesting because Darby cuts a promo on Matthew and Nicholas, and he asks them, what was the original mission statement of AEW? And it was change the world. And he said, when I was homeless and I begged you to for a job, you didn't see anything in me. And he said, at least there was an EVP with some brains around here. and his name was not Kenny Omega. And because
this was
he said
steps
that,
back I was talking about before, just to get it out there.
Yeah. When he says that, the AEW crowd starts chanting, Cody, Cody, Cody. And I'm like,
who hired Vince Russo?
Yeah. It's uncomfortable. So, yeah, way to go to cut a promo invoking the top guy at the other promotion. Woohoo!
Yeah. No input from Sting either. We couldn't even get Sting in a pre-tape for some reason.
Yeah, so essentially after all that, they made the match official. It's a tag team title match for Revolution. The champs, Darby and Sting versus Matthew and Nicholas. Then we had a backstage promo with the Bang Bang Scissors Gang, where they essentially just announced a 12-man tag team match on Rampage to test out their metal to see if they mesh well as a giant stable. And the problem I have with this is the reason it was created was because they were going to take on the Undisputed Kingdom, who aren't really that threatening anymore. So, yay.
Yeah.
Then we had Willow Nightingale defeating Sky Blue in a decent match. But the moment that popped me was on commentary in the early parts of the match, because Stokely Hathaway joined commentary. I can't remember if it was Excalibur or Tony Schiavone that said, oh, it looks like you and Taz coordinated your outfits for tonight, because they both had a dark blazer on with a turtleneck underneath. And so Taz says, well, your shirt is gold. Mine is Texas orange, because we're in Texas and I own the color orange. And Stokely goes, you got it trademarked? And Taz is like, yeah. And then Excalibur says, well, I would say Stokely's shirt is a bit more butternut squash. And Stokely goes, what'd you call me? So
I do like how even in commentary, like kind of in character, you might say, Taz does flip out when he sees other people wearing orange.
Yeah. And I own the color orange. Do you? But that was funny. That popped me, just the way Stokely delivered that line. What'd you call me, you? And in the main event, because we were in Texas, Orange Cassidy defeated Matt Taven in a Texas death match that saw tables and chairs and thumbtacks and chains. And essentially, both men were bloodied, but the finish was... Taven actually telling Orange to come on and bring it. And so Orange wraps the chain around his fist and Matt just stands there like a dumbass and then gets hit with the orange punch and he can't answer the 10 count. So I'm like, really? You just stood there and watched. What did you think he was going to do with his hand once he was, I mean, anyway. I didn't care for that finish, but that was the end of Dynamite.
Yeah, because, you know, that heated rivalry between Orange Cassidy and Matt Taven, you know, that warranted this Texas death match. And if you can't tell, that was very sarcastic. I mean, why do we have a Texas death match for two guys that are just having a match?
That have barely touched in the past. Mm-hmm. But hey... wrestling.
Mm-hmm. But so, despite those criticisms, I think it was an okay show. Last week's was a lot better, but this week was still pretty good.
Yeah, I think they crammed a lot of action in there. The MVPs of the night, and I'm biased, but Samoa Joe and Tony Storm, as they usually are. I don't think it was a bright idea by Darby to invoke Cody, but...
Although you could probably give them to the MVP any given week.
It's why I tune in.
Yep.
Although I did watch most of last night, not on Fast Forward. So kudos to me for that. So any final thoughts on what we saw and or heard?
Revolution. It's definitely looking really good on paper. So I'm definitely looking forward to the show.
See, that's the thing about AEW, because sometimes you see the card for the show and it's like, eh, but you know that they're gonna work and it's gonna be entertaining like 99% of the time. It's okay, now it looks good on paper. Then okay, what's gonna happen now? I'm interested.
AEW, the land of the pay-per-view. Well, our next episode will be our SmackDown and AEW weekend show review. And it should be interesting to find out where we go with Roman and The Rock, because they're both promising everything changes on SmackDown. And I have a feeling this is the next escalation in the roller coaster ride of the match is going to be changed and then changed back and then changed again. Unless Triple H just steps in there and asserts his authority, no pun intended. I don't know, but it sounds like must-see TV to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's heard. I actually tried looking for spoilers, and I can't find anything.
Oh, that's because it's a live show.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the plans get out, right?
No, these are all the professionals in the main event scene. They don't let that slide or slip.
Never.
It's not like we have a news outlet called Fightful Select that gives spoilers, right? Oh, do we? My bad. All right, well, that's our next episode, and until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X. At TWBPShow, on Facebook at facebook.com/BehindTheSquaredCircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.